Thank you for joining us here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Indeed, welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. We were here last night, and it was a blessing. I began the program last night reading a commentary by historian Victor Davis Hanson. And I've been in radio long enough to know when I get a response like I did last night, many people saying, would you read it again? What did you read? And I recognize many of you right now didn't even hear the program last night. I want to begin with the commentary again. We've got 2 hours tonight together. Phone numbers are always 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Let me jump in. Victor Davis Hanson is a historian, wrote the recent commentary entitled Life Among the Ruins. History is important to recognize. Victor Davis Hanson wrote the following. American society is facing three existential crises, not unlike those that overcame the late Roman and a millennium later terminal Byzantine empires. We are suffering an epidemic of pre-modern barbarianism. The signs, unfortunately, appear everywhere. Over 500,000 homeless people crowd our big city downtowns. Most know the result of such medieval street living is unhealthy, violent, and lethal for all concerned. Yet no one knows, or even seems to worry about, how to stop it. So public defecation, urination, fornication, and injection continue unabated. Progressive urban pedestrians pass by holding their noses, averting their gazes, and accelerating the pace of their walking. The greenest generation in history allows its sidewalks to become pre-civilizational sewers. In a very brief time, we all but have destroyed the downtowns of our major cities, which will increasingly become vacant in a manner like the 6th century AD Roman Forum. All except that defunding the police, no cash bail, Soros-funded district attorneys, and radical changes in jurisprudence have destroyed deterrence. The only dividend is the unleashing of a criminal class to smash and grab, carjack, steal, burglarize, execute, and assault with de facto immunity. Instead, we are sometimes lectured that looting is not a crime, but lengthy incarceration is criminally immoral. We have redefined felonies as misdemeanors warranting no punishment. Misdemeanors are now infractions that are not criminal. Infractions we treat as lifestyle choices. Normality, not criminality, is deemed criminal. We all know this will not work, but still wonder why it continues. Many among the middle classes of our cities who can flee or move do so, like 5th century equestrians who left Rome for rural fortified farms before the onslaught of the Ostrogoths and the Visigoths. For most of our lives, we were lectured that the old southern states, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, were backward and uninviting. Now even liberals often flee to them, leaving behind supposedly cosmopolitan Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Chicago, Baltimore, and New York. The more people leave the blue states, the more those states praise themselves as utopian. The less well-off, without the means to leave, hope that their environs have hit bottom so things can only improve. The elite who caused this postmodern catastrophe assumes they will always have the money and wherewithal to ensure that themselves and their own can navigate around or even profit from the barbarianism they unleashed. For them, the critic, not the target of criticism, is the greater threat. The hard urban work of the 1990s and early 2000s, cleaner, safer subways, secure nightlife downtown, clean sidewalks, low vacancy rates, little vagrancy, and little free streets, litter-free streets, so often has been undone, deliberately so. We are descending to the late 1960s and 70s wild streets. If we are lucky, the mayhem does not devolve even further. A mere 10 years ago, if an American learned that a man was arrested for clubbing, robbing, or shooting innocents, and yet would be released from custody that day of his crime, he would have thought it an obscenity. Now he fears that often the criminal will not even be arrested. A once secure border no longer exists. Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas simply demolished it and allowed 6 to 7 million foreign nationals to cross illegally into the United States without audits, to the delight of their apparent constituent, President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador. What would shame a Biden or Mayorkas? What would change their minds? Billions of dollars spent on social services for the law-breaking at the expense of the American poor? Would 100,000 annual lethal overdoses, 12 times more than those who died over 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, 100,000 annual lethal overdoses from drugs that flow across the open border, would that sway them? Or would it take 200,000 or 300,000 deaths before Joe Biden relented and ceased his chuckling? What does a people do when its highest officials simply renounce their oaths of office and refuse to enforce laws they don't like? Everyone knows the border will eventually have to become secure, but none have any idea whether it will take another 20, 30, or 50 million illegal entrants and 1 million more fentanyl deaths to close it. Polls show race relations have hit historic lows. Much of the ecumenicalism of the post-civil rights movement seems squandered, almost deliberately so. The left now rarely mentions Martin Luther King Jr. or even the historic Civil Rights Act of 1964. Perhaps it knows it has violated the spirit and legacy of both. Today, our identity politics leaders believe that the color of our skin, not the content of our character, certainly matters more. The practitioners of the new tribalism, in some sense, fear outlawing segregation and decriminalization by race. They know to do so would end racially restricted houses and safe spaces, racially exclusive graduations, and race-based admissions, hiring, and promotion on campus. Read Professor Ibram X. Kendi, and his message is implicit. For him, the problem with a Jim Crow-like system was not segregation or racial chauvinism per se, but merely who was doing the victimizing and who were the victims. So the original racism was bad, but racism in reverse is good. We abhor violence, racism, and misogyny in the abstract. Yet the entire hip-hop industry would find no audience, or so we are told by its appeasers, if rappers refrain from ho misogyny, brags of violence against law enforcement, and self-described proprietary use of the N-word. Most know that young black males under 30 commit violent crimes at well over 10 times their 3-4% demographic of the population, so often victimizing the non-white. All know that reality must remain unmentionable, even as it causes need to be debated and discussed if lives are to be saved. Yet the greater crime seems not the crime itself, but even mentioning crime itself. Postmodernism in our age is deadlier, even than pre-modernism. Sexually explicit drag shows that allowed the attendance of children 20 years ago would have been outlawed by liberals worried over the trauma of the young watching performance art simulated sex. Now the children come last and the performers first, as ratified by the same liberals. But to fathom the new transitioning, simply learn from ancient transitioning and gender dysphoria, an unhappy classical theme from years past. Current science is now synonymous with ideology, religion, or superstition. Lockdowns, mRNA vaccinations, masking, transgenderism, climate change, and green power brook no dissent. They're declared scientifically correct in the matter that the sun used to revolve around the earth, and any dissenting Galileo or Copernicus is cancel culture, doxed and deplatformed. It is now verboten to cite the causes of the current upswing. We must remain silent about the classical exegesis that cults, pornography, and constructed sexual identities, when not biological, were the manifestations of a bored culture's affluence, luxus, leisure, otium, and decadence, licentia, dissolutio. The classical analyses of an elite collapse focus on a falling birth rate, a scarce labor force, ubiquitous abortion, an undermanned military, and a shrinking population. We suffer all that and perhaps more still. Millions of young men are detached and ensconced in solitude. Their indebted 20s too often consumed with video gaming and internet surfing or consumption of porn. Many suffer from prolonged adolescence. Many assume that they are immune from criticism, given that the alternative of getting married, having children, finding a full-time job, and buying a house is society's new abnormal. Rarely has an elite society become so Victorian and yet so raunchy. A slip with an anachronistic gal or honey can get one fired. Meanwhile, grabbing one's genitals while pregnant on stage before 120 million viewers is considered a successful Super Bowl extravaganza. Our army is short of its annual recruitment by 25%. We all suspect, but do not say out loud, the cause. The stereotyping of poor and middle-class white males as both raging and biased and yet expected yet to fight and die in misadventures in Afghanistan and Iraq has finally convinced the parents of these 18-year-olds to say no more. Need we say anything about the lack of efficacy and morality of the Department of Justice, FBI, or CIA? Or rather, is there anything the FBI will not do? Doctors, doctor court evidence, hire Twitter to suppress the news, monitor parents at school board meetings, allow directors to lie under oath or misremember before Congress. Swiping clean subpoenaed phones, hiring fakers to compile dirt on a presidential candidate, and then using that known smear to hoodwink a judge to allow spying on Americans. Suppressing evidence on a laptop to warp an election. Raiding an ex-president's home with a SWAT-like team. Spying on Catholics en masse. Storming a home full of children of a man accused of a politically incorrect misdemeanor. The more the military has been stalemated in Iraq, humiliated in Afghanistan, and dreaded what China will soon do or what Iran will even sooner let off, the more it insists our priorities should be diversity, equity, and inclusion. Will that escapism ensure more lethal pilots, tank commanders, and Marine Company commanders? The mindsets of too many of our new generations of command are twofold. First, to be promoted by virtue signaling woke policies that they must know eventually will hamper combat readiness, and then in the future to rotate at retirement into multimillionaire status by leveraging past expertise for defense contractors. Keep that in mind, and almost every publicly uttered nonsense from our highest in the Pentagon makes perfect sense. And lastly, there is a third challenge. Our enemies, illiberal, deadly, and vengeful, have concluded we are more effective critics of ourselves than are they. They enjoy our divided nation, torn apart by racial incivility, dysfunctional cities, and woke madness. Notice how even the communists long ago dropped deadly Maoist wokeism, or how the Russians viewed the Soviet commiserate and antithetical to their military and economic agendas. Iran believes that this present generation, or present generation of Americans, would likely allow it to nuke Israel rather than stop its proliferation. China assumes that Taiwan is theirs and the only rub is how to destroy or absorb it without losing too much and too many global markets and income. Russia conjectures that the more we trumpet its impending defeat, the more it will destroy eastern Ukraine and call such a desert peace. Our friends can be as dangerous as our enemies. A visitor from another world might conclude Mexico has done more damage to America than North Korea, Iran, and Russia combined. It has, by intent, flooded our border with 20 million illegal aliens. It has allowed cartels with Chinese help to conduct multi-billion-dollar profiteering by killing 100,000 Americans per year. Did the Kremlin ever match that tally in a half a century of the Cold War? Mexico drained $60 billion from its expatriates on the expectation that American subsidies will free up their cash to be sent home. The more the cartels run wild, the more money trickles down. While their top drug enforcement official, Genaro Garcia Luna, was found guilty in a New York courtroom for collusion with the cartels. And finally, how did all of this so quickly erode our great country? Our crisis was not the next generation of foreign Hitlers and Stalins. It was not earthquakes, floods, or even pandemics. It was not endemic poverty and want. It was not a meager inheritance from past generations of incompetence, nor was it a dearth of natural resources or bounty. Instead, our catastrophe arose from our most highly educated, the wealthiest, and most privileged in American history, with the greatest sense of self-esteem and sanctimoniousness. Sometime around the millennium, They felt their genius could change human nature and bring an end to history. If only they had enough power to force Hoi Polloi to follow their abstract and bankrupt theories that they had no intention of abiding by themselves. And then the few sowed the wind, and so the many now reap their whirlwind. Victor Davis Hanson, Life Among the Ruins. We'll debrief that. Take your calls, 800-222-5222. A full show tonight until 9 o'clock. A lot of calls, a lot of stories, a lot of conversations to be had. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Last Saturday, I took a drive down to Orange County to my tax accountant, guy you may know of. His name is Phil Liberatore, the IRS problem solver. As always, Phil took care of me, and I'm reminded that tax season is upon us. The idea of, well, the stresses of taxes. Wouldn't you like to be, well, less stressed by hiring a specialist? Phil Liberatore is that guy. He's been doing this for decades. He is a personal friend. He does my taxes. I was audited years ago. He took care of that. So why stress out? Why not call him? Say, hey, Phil, you're the IRS problem solver. I need some problems solved. Two ways you can do that. You can go to stopirspain.com. That's the website to find out more about what Phil Liberatore and his crew does at IRS Problem Solvers. Or you can call them directly and set up an appointment. 877, the number 6, solver. 877, the number 6, solver. Do that as soon as possible. Hey, I've gotten 3 emails already from those that listen to my Victor Davis Hanson commentary. 2 thumbs up, 1 thumb down. The thumb down says, too intense, too heavy. And I hear this all the time. Let us just bury our head in the sand, live and let live. We don't need to even remotely contemplate some of the deeper issues of society and culture. Let's just kind of focus on our lives. And I'm not here to say it's an all or nothing, but when you look at history, or when you look at some of the later moves now from the global elitists, it's kind of hard to act as if you're ignorant, naive in this day and age, especially with information being so accessible at the push of a button. And I would say this, simply, that ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance. A little bit of an addendum. I recognize it's not something that is, at the very least, from the outset, something that seems that it will feel good, benefit you, be easy. But we're a culture that is so comfortable. I equate being comfortable with death. A generation with choices and affluence and materialism and all the accoutrements of, again, what I see as a blueprint for death. And I'm not arguing as a Luddite, like, let's go back to the Dark Ages and strike flint together and live in caves. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that the day by which some of us had the platform and the mindset of, no, it doesn't affect me. We live in the day and time right now where everything affects us directly, especially with what we've witnessed over the last 2-plus years with the lockdowns. So I would just lovingly challenge you, lean a bit into the tough areas. We took a call last night from a guy that didn't like my comment about the idea of stop watching, listening, or reading the mainstream media. I think it's a total waste of time. In truth, I'm not really sure what he was trying to say on the air, but he didn't like what I said. And my position is, we still live in a day and age and a time where, with a little bit of chutzpah, you can get online and access volumes of information that may or may not align together and come to your own conclusion about what's going on, and then do something about it. maybe even doing something about it, is just educate yourself. Not just have an opinion based on emotion, have a view based on substance. Be willing to engage someone that may or may not agree with you. Instead of going the way of being belly up and cancel culture and, I'm going to cower in the corner and not until they come knocking on my door. By the way, I think Pogo was right. I've seen the enemy and he is me. It's us. We're our own worst enemies. To take complete responsibility for one's life is an arduous task. But the freedom on the other side is not debatable. So I urge you, inform yourself, be educated, challenge yourself with varying viewpoints, and then engage. Engage in your community, in your culture, in your home, in your church, in your country. And let's see if we can take back some of the ground we've so freely given up to the power-hungry whores and the politically elite. Amen? 800-222-5222 are the numbers, 800-222-KABC. Last night's program, we took a lot of phone calls. I would like to do so tonight as well. We've got a full two-hour program tonight. If you're new, when I encourage you to call the program, it doesn't necessarily mean it's topical. You can call in and speak and address anything that's on your heart, in your mind. Maybe it's something you've heard me mention. Maybe it's just something you want to present to the listeners and to the community of listeners here at KABC. Again, if you are new, I do embrace disagreement. I'm not afraid to roll up my sleeves and kind of get into it respectfully with someone that may not like some of the things and some of the policies that I posture on the air. Cowardice is alive and well. Social media, anonymous, well, people that have a voice that don't have to be held accountable or responsible. I just say I have no time for foolishness. But for respectful discourse and dialogue and debate, absolutely. My mind has changed a lot of times. So if that resonates with you in any way, shape, and form, I'm just going to be completely honest. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 open lines, wide open, other than Joe in Santa Monica. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. If you're looking for topics, I can throw some out to you on the other side about what we may or may not talk about. But how about you be the guest? You decide what you want to discuss on the air. Call me. I'd love to hear from you. 800-222-KABC. If you don't want to call in the program and be on the air, you can email me directly. And it's a private email address. Comes right to me, nobody else. Frank@KMGMinistries.com. KMG is in Kingdom Men's Gathering. Frank@KMGMinistries.com. 30 minutes down, 90 to go. 800-222-KABC. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. If you miss any of this program, you can always go to my website, franksontag.com, and listen to any program in its entirety under the podcast section. 800-222-KABC are the numbers. Let us talk to Joe in Santa Monica. Joe, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Thanks, Frank. That was very intriguing and very gripping to hear Victor Davis Hanson. And the problem is that it's true. We're losing. We're losing right now. And we need to fight. But I don't, and you answered my question. My question was, what do we do? I think we're the majority. I think the majority of us still have morals and still have a good feeling about society and getting along, but there's this minority out there that's pushing this envelope and making life nuts. So is what do we do as an average citizen?
Well, Joe, I appreciate your call and your question. There's a lot, but let me start at the top with a very simple response. My view is we are living at a time where it's very easy to be cynical or afraid or act as if we are, quote unquote, losing. Not my position at all. Now, do I think the challenge is great? No doubt about it. Do I think there are entities that would do anything to undermine this country? Not even debatable. But here's my thought on that. If you love something, you will fight for it. We have lost the art of loving what means the most for our lives and others. And part of that is because we've been bombarded with technology and simulation and videos and this cyber world that so many of us spend on average, I think, like 10 to 12 hours a day staring at a screen. We no longer to somehow watch a documentary on the rainforest. We think we know all about the rainforest instead of actually sitting your butt down in the middle of the Venezuelan rainforest and realize, hey, this is not a good time. We've lost our connection to the natural world. We've lost our connection to each other. So it starts with one simple step forward and to start taking back some of that ground. And the last thing I'll say, I said it on the program last night. I don't think we need the majority of people. I don't think we need the masses. History has proven mostly maybe it takes about 1% of the population to be actively engaged to enhance and to create enormous change in culture. Just 1%. And you and me and a few others listening right now, we probably can add up to the 1%.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening.
I don't know how to come back to that. I think that for me, I always think to myself, I'm going to put like 3 or 4 hours aside on the weekend. And I do read the editorial section of the Daily News, which I think is a great place for opinion. But as far as being able to express myself and argue a point, I get so passionately angry that I'm not very good at it. So, but I definitely want to be one of those 1%. And I appreciate your comments, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for calling. I will also say this. I think the greatest relationship one can have to not only understand and comprehend and navigate through the mess that is life is a relationship with God. I don't know how people do it without that. And in truth and transparency, I did it for 54 years of my life. I was a New Age teacher. From the outside looking in, I looked like I had everything. I had nothing. But I understand that it gives one pause to understand everything that's celebrated by culture and this world today is all about self. And when I had my wake-up call in 2009, the book that I read said to deny myself, which is so antithetical to the way we are wired. Deny myself? Well, wait, all I have is myself. No. Your relationship with God is everything. And He is alive and living and active. And our culture has turned our back on Him. No wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. We have prompters on in the air studio, and they are both news-oriented. I think another thought, picking up on Joe's question, it's, for me, very easy to be caught up in the things of the world. I mean, we live in the world, but there is a phrase to live in the world but not of it. Let me say it a different way. Years ago, I heard this expression, and I think there's merit to it. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I won't go too far in the we're not our body and the essence and the spirit that's in our body. but developing an understanding and a perspective that is just not in this world. There is another world. It's the world of spirit. Even when I was a New Age teacher and lost adrift at sea in the malaise of self. See, we live in a culture, it's the worship of self now. We like to think we're our own gods. Idolatry is alive and well. Just simply put this thought to task. If you're a man, a grown man, and again, I'm not here to make you out to be a bad guy. Just think about this logically and rationally. You're a grown man and you like, say, sports. And so you go to a game. You may plunk down obscene amounts of money for a jersey with a guy's name, a number that's not you. You'll wear that to a game and you'll celebrate a home run or a touchdown or a three-pointer. But yet, when it comes to your own life and maybe even your own relationship with God, we give him a little lip service. In truth, we give him sloppy seconds. Even in my community of faith, in the Christian community, I hear so much about people saying, I don't have time to read the Bible. I can't find 10 minutes to just read the Bible and get in the Word. But yet, first thing in the morning, we wake up, look at our oxymoronic smartphones, check our emails, check social media. Oh, why didn't he like my post last night? I thought it was really good. Oh, that's right. I'll give God a couple of minutes here. Or even quiet time. And I'm not speaking from the mountaintop. I'm guilty of this as well at times. That's why I know it so well. But when you, words that are missing today, when you discipline yourself, or when you embrace faculties like honor or duty, develop the acumen to have a spiritual relationship with the creator of the universe. Make the priority every day. Stop watching and listening to the news of the world that's going to change every day and say, man has the answer, when the truth is only God has the answer. And I'm not arguing to be indifferent or apathetic. You know, part of the rap that faith-based communities get, oh, yeah, you're just waiting for Jesus to come back, so you don't care. You just rape the earth and don't worry about stewarding. And that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, we live in a day and age where lies are purported as truth. We don't even recognize lies anymore. We're so self-deluded. We're so caught up in the worship of self. How about doing something for someone else that no one will ever know you did? What about something like humility or compassion or love, that four-letter word we like to throw around? But I think very few of us really understand the capital L love and the significance of the greatest love that ever walked this earth. Has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. He gave his life for all of us so we can forever be rectified with the Father. And respectfully, don't you dare go to, oh, here we go with the religious stuff. Do you know God has written his law on your hearts as well? All of our hearts. We know the difference between right and wrong. Whether you embrace that there is a God and live accordingly, the fact of the matter is there is a God. There is absolute truth. One day we're all going to get called on the carpet, be held accountable. But when you live for him, when you deny yourself, as the Bible says, all of a sudden you start recognizing not only that life makes sense, but you find hope in a hopeless world. I look at man, the Bible says that there's nothing possible with man. Everything is impossible, but God is the God of possibilities. He's in control. He's not missing anything. And when you live for him and honor him and be grateful and give him glory for all the gifts he's given you, my goodness gracious, it's a game changer. You wake up in the morning and instead of going, oh my gosh, life is so messed up, I'm dreading today, I just want to stay in bed, it's like, what a blessing. Not only that I've woken up and I have a breath in my lungs, but I can make a difference in this world right here, right now. It may just mean making a difference in your own home. But nonetheless, you can make a difference. God made you unique. But sadly, few of us, I fear, risk becoming so uncomfortable to get out of what is monotonous and the humdrum of just doing what's easy, instead of challenging oneself to do what is arduous and is a task and is work. How do you build strength if you lift weights without breaking down your muscles? I mean, it's just so intrinsic within us. But I understand. I do. I lived it for 54 years of my life. I played it safe. I came from fear my whole life. No mas. No more. Uh-uh. And I give God the glory. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. On this, the one and only Talk Radio, 790-KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790-KABC. I enjoy getting emails. I've got a few already on the program. Listener Jamie gave me a good laugh on the break. Jamie writes, I've been listening tonight and I'm a bit confused. Are you the same guy that was on last week talking about the best burgers in town? Look, you got to change it up sometimes. We have fun here as well. Now, we're not heavy 24/7. I mean, it's about balance, Jamie. And you didn't tell me what your favorite burger was in your email. So, yes, that's me. We're here every Friday night. I've done radio for, this is my 36th year. And some of you know my story. I dropped out of college twice because I was terrified to take a speech class. So you can't tell me that when we keep our eyes on God and pursue Him, that He can't do great things through us. I'm not professing that somehow what I'm doing is great. I'm talking about to be able to do talk radio for 36 years when I wouldn't even take a speech class. That's not me. That's God. Hey, I want to tell you about a good friend of mine. His name is Dan Johnson. He's one of the co-founders of the Berglund and Johnson Law Group. If you do watch television, you will invariably see a commercial, ads with lawyers promising a bunch of good results. You may not know, many of the ads are by actors or companies that take out advertising, by which you'll be thrown into a pool of lawyers and have no clue who's going to represent you. Berglund and Johnson are hands-on. They take your case, they will personally work on your case, and fight hard so you receive all the compensation the laws allow. They are personal injury attorneys, truck, auto, motorcycle accidents. If you've been seriously injured, call Berglund and Johnson. Their number is very easy to remember. It's the number 800-4-IF-HURT. 800, the number 4 in the words if hurt. The Berglund and Johnson Law Group. By the way, it costs you nothing to find out if they can take your case. You'll never pay a penny unless you win your case. Berglund and Johnson, 800, the number 4, if hurt. I'll say this. I had a fun time coming to work tonight. And I'll be brief on this conversation, and hopefully you'll understand the intent by which I share it. I have a truck that's 8 years old. It's got 227,000 miles on it. It's been a little iffy lately. And when I left home, part of me thought, that's coming down pretty good. I haven't had it serviced in a while. I'm about 10 miles into my drive. I drive about, I guess it's probably 40 miles from Ventura County. The engine light goes on my car just throttles down, and I'm on the freeway. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. So I pulled to the side. I make a couple of calls, call AAA. A friend of mine works for the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. Let him know my truck's on the road. And then I started walking. So I took a little hightail back home. took my wife's car into work, and got here with you know, 10, 15 minutes to spare. I'm usually in here about an hour ahead of time. Why do I tell you that story? Very few things in life are worth getting upset about. I mean, when it happened, I thought, great. But my attitude in life is, bad things happen, but very few bad things happen to really good people. And you got to kind of pick and choose when you give up your emotion and your frustration and your anger and all the other stuff. And I'm not saying play with your mind, positive thinking, you know, manipulate your perception. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm saying, look, we could be living in, I mean, fill in the blank. You could be in a war-torn nation right now, or a nation that chronically malnourished and hunger and starvation. Or you talk about, as much as I think, California and the political elite in Sacramento, they suck. They have their own agendas. You know, when I think about the push for electric vehicles and save water, all the other nonsense of their policies. All in all, living in California, I mean, there are much worse places to be living. We've got everything, but yet we love to complain. Here's a very short story, and then maybe we'll take calls here or on the other side. 800-222-KABC. A friend of mine was lamenting privately. He has two sons. I think they're 15 and 17. And he just purchased a new vehicle. I don't think I've said this story on the air. Have I, Wayman? He just purchased a new vehicle. And with the recent rains and the cold weather, one of the mornings recently, both boys said they didn't want to go to school. And he's like, why? Well, because your car is in the shop, the car with the heated seats. And I'm thinking, what have we done? We had a wonderful call last night from Bobby, 88 years young. We were talking about society and what happened to the younger generation. And I said, it's on us. We really blew it the way we raised them. They only know so much. But I mean, when you think about that, I don't want to go to school because I can't ride in the car with the heated seats because it's a little cold outside. These are young men, 15 and 17. Are we really preparing our sons and daughters to engage in the world with a fire and vigor and power that God has instilled in them? I just that's why I have a men's ministry. I think we have a crisis of manhood in our country. Men are beaten down left and right by culture. And yet, I'll include myself, we've done a good job of wreaking havoc in our own lives. I was telling someone earlier today, the greatest missing link, I believe, in the faith-based community that I'm involved with, that would be Christianity, the greatest missing link is teaching women, I'm a man, and men in my men's ministry, the understanding and the realization that they are not fatherless. We live in a society where fatherlessness is normalized. I heard a statistic the other day. I didn't follow up on it, but it was shocking, the amount of children that are raised in a household without a father in this day and age. But when you come to understand there is a God, the Father, the creator of the universe, that I said this last night, I'll say it every program. If you're a woman, he adores you as his beloved daughter. If you're a man, he loves you as his beloved son. And to have a relationship with him is a game changer. But I think most guys just, you know, we think we've got a father wound. It's hard to conceptualize. And in faith, there's a God in heaven. And we struggle with that. But guess what? It's still true. When you start understanding the enormous amount of love that the Father of humanity pours out onto us, very few things in life are worth getting really upset about. Hour number two is next, 800-222-KABC. We have a few open lines. I've got some news stories here. Hope and pray that you continue to stick around. You're more than welcome to email me, as always, at frank@kmgministries.com. and we will see what our next hour brings. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Thank you for listening to the number one talk radio station, the original Talk Radio 790 KABC.